Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast, bringing you the latest updates from the world of sports, gambling, and pop culture. Because you can't have a show without hot takes or a Tiger King meme these days. Know what I'm saying? Now, with over 200 episodes and ready to get after it again, here's your host, Dwayne Callender.
All right, everyone, welcome to the show. Gonna be talking Premier League today. And we had the transfer deadline come up and the international break right after it. So good to get back into Premier League action tomorrow. But wanted to talk about the major news from the transfer window, which was obviously the return of Cristiano Ronaldo to Manchester United. Now, here's the thing. It's been 12 years since Ronaldo last played for United. 12 years. It's pretty crazy that Ronaldo and Messi are still playing, to be honest, at this stage, given their ages and how much they've done in soccer. But yeah, Ronaldo back at United, everyone's going crazy. Here's the thing, though. And people have to understand this. United was not Ronaldo's first choice. The decision really came down to Man City did not want Ronaldo. But I will say this. For what Ronaldo still brings to the table, I think it's a mistake that Pep Guardiola was so against bringing Ronaldo in. Because City does not have a true striker. At this stage of his career, Ronaldo remains a top class finisher in any league. I think it made sense for City to actually get Ronaldo. Now, obviously, you're not going to be able to play him the minutes of a starter and run around as much as Pep is looking for. I think that's why Pep ultimately passed on Ronaldo. But at the end of the day, I think you have to kind of take into account the skill sets. Now, as I said, Ronaldo's still an excellent finisher, still very good on kicks and PKs. He knows how to finish. The one thing I will say, though, for fantasy EPL purposes, you must take out Bruno in your lineups. I talked about him in the preview about what can stop Bruno. This is the one thing that can actually stop Bruno, because Bruno is so dependent on having access to free kicks. He was the main PK taker at United. That's gone. When Ronaldo's playing, Bruno's value in terms of what he brings from a fantasy standpoint plummets. And at Bruno's price tag of being in the 12-figure range, there's no way you can play him. I don't understand people wanting to play Ronaldo either at his price tag either, because Ronaldo's also priced at 12. I would still play Ronaldo over Bruno at this stage, because I know Ronaldo is taking penalties, and he's more than likely, given that it's Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, his former teammate, as the manager, I'm pretty sure Ronaldo's probably taking the free kicks too. Even though Bruno probably should take them, Ronaldo's probably taking them too. So, to me, it makes no sense to actually play Bruno. The one guy I actually do think is going to benefit from this, that was not necessarily going to be in a regular rotation otherwise, I actually think this benefits Mason Greenwood. Martial doesn't really fit if you're playing Ronaldo, Martial doesn't really fit in that squad. Greenwood can run box to box, and he's fast enough that he can basically cover up for the ground that Ronaldo's not going to be able to cover. I like Greenwood, and again, we'll see about his creative abilities working with better players around him. We're going to find out because, you know, obviously he's already gotten off to a ridiculous start to the year with three goals in three straight games. But I'm very curious to see how this United squad looks. Because I said this before, I think they have a shot at winning the title. I think having someone like Ronaldo who's going to push those players to be more professional and more prepared game in, game out, I think is only going to help United, as much as it pains me to say that. So, from my standpoint, I think you have to give a nod to United in terms of championship win equity. However, to me, the signing that not enough people are talking about is Romelu Lukaku going back to Chelsea. Chelsea did not have a verified, legit striker that will put the fear of God into teams. Lukaku does that. Now, is Lukaku incredibly streaky? Yes. If he's your sole scoring option, as he was oftentimes at Everton and a couple other clubs, yes, he's going to frustrate you. But Chelsea has so many weapons and creatively can do so many different ways that Tuchel's going to be able to exploit, that having a hammer like Lukaku right there that is just going to be a wrecking ball, just overpowering your teams. I mean, I laughed about it with Arsenal, but I knew it was going to happen. You put Lukaku against that undersized backline of Arsenal, he's going to, I mean, he absolutely ragdolled them. Absolutely ragdolled them. I don't care what excuses they want to say for Arsenal that day. There is no way, any way, shape, or form, that Ben White is going to be able to guard Lukaku on his own. There's no chance. None. I don't care. I know, and again, I like Ben White, but he is not your number one focal point in shutting down a physical just stud like Lukaku. It's not going to happen. So, to me, the team that strengthened the most in the transfer deadline is Chelsea, because they addressed their number one concern in a huge way. I mean, to me, teams should have been trying to block Lukaku from getting to Chelsea. The fact that they allowed Lukaku to end up at Chelsea, I think it speaks more towards teams just not really understanding the landscape. I mean, Manchester City does not have a striker. I know Lukaku is not a perfect fit for Pep Guardiola's system, but you don't have a striker. You didn't get a striker. The teams around you got better. I don't know if you can legitimately say that City is still the favorite to win the title, because I'm having very strong doubts about that. Because if everyone else got better around you, and it was not as though City is demonstrably better than these teams. Regardless, I thought it was gonna be a pretty open race throughout the year. We don't have another transfer window until we get down into the new year. That's a lot of valuable time. Obviously, injuries can happen, but injuries struck City last year too. I think City is playing with fire, given the fact that they did not address the pressing concerns. I know Harry Kane did not work out, but I'm sorry, Harry Kane should not have been the end-all, be-all for Manchester City, given what they have always the chance to accomplish, which is to get a treble. You can win the Premier League, obviously. You can win Champions League. You're good enough to do that. And you can win a domestic cup. To me, at the end of the day, once Harry Kane fell through and Spurs, for whatever reason, Spurs just stupidly are just being stubborn about letting Kane go, you had to move on. I'm very much interested in seeing how this season plays out. Because now, I gotta say, City, there's a very real chance City could be the third best team in the Premier League. And when we start talking about the league in about 2 months, there's a very real chance. And that's really of their own making. They did not make any moves, and I have my doubts. I do have my doubts when it comes to Man City of their championship contentions, because I think the signings that United and Chelsea did are actual legit upgrades. Because as much as I say this, Ronaldo is not the player he once was, but what I'm talking about in terms of the professionalism and being able to keep yourself in shape and in form, Ronaldo's top of the world in that. And that's something that United has struggled with. Guys not being in form, getting injured. Like, listen, do you work with a guy like Ronaldo, you're going to learn a thing or two, if you're listening, at least. So, again, I look at this and I kind of shake my head at City, because I think they made their job a lot harder for themselves than it had any right to be if they wanted to be a little bit, just a wee bit more proactive. In the meantime, what were some of the things that I got right off the bat? For months, I had people yelling at me that I didn't know what I was talking about when it came to Arsenal, that I was being too negative, that me saying that they would probably finish in the bottom half of the table was a very ridiculous stance. And lo and behold, Arsenal opens up the year 0-3. Not surprising to me at all. Everyone else is shocked about how badly Arsenal's been drunk. But I will say this. When you have a team that is structurally flawed, where you're trying to play a style of football that requires you to have a holding midfielder and be able to control the midfield with possession, yet you do not have anyone in your squad that can play center defense midfield, nor any midfielders that are very good retrieving the ball after they have lost it, structurally, you will be found out very quickly. And especially when you still have multiple flaws in your back line, where A, you're still a bit undersized, B, your backs are offensive-minded, yet do not communicate with their center backs, so they're constantly out of position. Arsenal, as a whole, are flawed right now. And you have a lot of mealy-mouthed responses from their manager, Mikel Arteta. So, to me, Arsenal struggles early on, not surprising. Are they going to get better? Yeah. Well, I shouldn't say yeah. I'd say they should. But the schedule gets easier for them. But it's going to be a rough campaign. I was pretty open about this beforehand. It doesn't matter who they sign from Leicester. Leicester's not going to give them anyone of note that's going to structurally change the shape and the performance of the team, because what Arsenal lacks is a calming influence in their back third, because they got a bunch of players signed in trying to communicate with each other on the back line. You don't have a leader in the midfield. You don't have a leader in the locker room, obviously. If you watch Arsenal play, it's obvious that no one really has that leadership role to begin with. So there's plenty of problems. And of course, we got the matchup against Norwich tomorrow, which folks are joking is the relegation battle. But as I said before, if you can't beat Norwich this year, when Norwich isn't actually trying, then you don't really have a case to make for yourself about not getting fired. Because any team that has any inclination of playing for Europe, your manager deserves to get sacked if you lose to Norwich this year. Norwich is not trying to stay in the Premier League. Norwich is trying to train out players so they can figure out if they can sell them or keep them for their battle to get back into promotion next year when they drop down into the championship. That's it. There's nothing else to it. Surprises to me this year. You know, it's unfortunate that Wolves started 0-3 to begin the year, but they've been in every single game. They've lost every game by one goal. It's been 1-0 against Wolves the entire way through. I still don't worry about them yet. They've played well. The only thing is you do see a little bit of an issue with I don't think it was the best thing in the world to try to hold on to Traore and pay him. I think Traore is what he is in that he's a very fast attacking player, cannot finish to save his life. If he learns how to finish, then he becomes Lukaku. And you've got a gold mine. And then you look like a genius for holding on to him. I just don't know if he's ever going to have the finishing touch around his feet to become that kind of player. It, from all accounts, it just doesn't look like it. I've been proven wrong before, but Traore's had multiple shots at proving himself. Wolves definitely made a commitment to him. I'm just not entirely sure I would have done that. I think there were other players they could have brought in to actually get them there, but we'll see. We will definitely see. If Raul Jimenez can get back to where he can be, obviously he had that incredibly scary fractured skull injury last year. You know, that's going to take time to get over. But I still believe in the quality of that Wolves squad, so they should be there. Any other surprises to start the year? Not really. Not really. Most of these games have gone pretty much where I would expect them to go. Obviously, you got Newcastle and Burnley down at the bottom, near the bottom of the table. And a bunch of teams that are like right there amongst each other. In terms of the matchups tomorrow, obviously I talked about Arsenal-Norwich. If Arsenal cannot beat Norwich at home, it might actually result in Arteta getting fired. And I was the one saying that he's probably going to be able to last through the end of the year. Starting as badly as Arsenal has done and not getting 3 points at Norwich, that probably gets enough vocal noise where you get demonstrations every day, pretty much every other day at the stadium, because it's just to only get a point or worse, or like even a loss to Norwich, I just don't think there's much recovery for Arsenal. I think Arsenal pounds Norwich, to be honest. The Norwich does not offer much in terms of defensive ability that Arsenal should be able to put up 3-4 goals on them. But I don't think that even remotely fixes what's wrong at Arsenal in the slightest. Brentford hosting Brighton. interesting matchup here because I think Brentford might try to open it up here. Brighton have made enough signings that they will be the favorite side. But I think Brentford can sneak in a goal here, so I like this one to be a 1-1 draw. Leicester versus Man City is the game of the day. And the one thing that City is vulnerable against with Leicester at all times is the counterattack. Pep knows it, he tries to guard against it, and yet still they get caught by it. It's not a shocker if City drops points to Leicester. I think Leicester takes this one because for it just sometimes it's the matchup, and I think Leicester is a matchup that City wants to play their style. They want to play through the back, but they still are open to the counterattack, and Leicester just excels at it with Vardy. So I'm looking at that and thinking that this is a spot where Leicester can pull off and it shouldn't even be considered an upset anymore. Leicester's been good enough that they can get results against top teams like City. But it's still technically an upset, but I think Leicester at home can get it done. Ronaldo's return as United at Old Trafford hosts Newcastle. I mean, this is just set up perfectly for United to showcase Ronaldo, what he can still do. Newcastle, yes, they've played well to start the year, but yeah, this is going to be too much of a tall task. I think this is a 2-0 United victory. I do not see Newcastle posing much of a threat, to be perfectly honest. Southampton hosting West Ham. Interesting. Because I think it's still too early to tell what we got in both of these teams. Folks will side with West Ham. I'm more of the opinion, I don't think West Ham is as good as they showed last year, but should still be a quality squad. I think this one ends in a draw. Watford hosting Wolves. I told you I liked how Wolves have performed this year. I think they get a win here. I'm taking Wolves. Maybe Watford gets a goal on the board, but I think Wolves either takes a 2-1 or 1-0. I think they've played well enough that they can take care of business, even though they're on the road. And in terms of the afternoon game, it's going to be Chelsea hosting Aston Villa. Listen, the Villa hype train is very high, but Chelsea is demonstrably better in pretty much every aspect of the pitch. It's not even close, in my opinion. I think Chelsea stomps them, wins it at least by 2 goals, and we call it a day. Sunday, we only have one matchup, and I believe it is Leeds-Liverpool. I'm looking at this and saying, you know, Liverpool should get some goals here. It should be a very entertaining game, to say the least. I will probably be busy watching or getting ready for football and watching football, so I'll have to catch it on DVR, but I do think that Liverpool takes this one, whether it be 3-2 or 2-1. I think Liverpool gets a nod here. And then because we have Monday football, it's Everton versus Burnley. I told you, I think Burnley is very much at risk of getting relegated. Everton, even though they can be very inconsistent at times, I don't see them dropping points at Goodison Park. They take care of business at home, get the W, and we move on from there. So, with that being said, in terms of your fantasy EPL implications, I talked about it with Bruno. I do not think you should be playing Bruno. I think you need to get Bruno out of your lineups. My suggestion would be finding a pivot off of Bruno. If you don't have Mason Greenwood in your squads, I would say you can go there. If you already have Greenwood on your teams, the other option you can look at would be Saeed Benrahma for West Ham. He's going to be considerably cheaper. He's rising in pricing, obviously. But, because he started at 6, and I think he's at, it's probably going to be 6.4 pounds now. You can take the cost savings there. Or you can go with a Ferran Torres. Again, City did not get a striker, so now it pretty much locks in Torres playing every game, because someone's got to play that false nine role, and they're probably going to do Jesus, so, Torres seems to be the man at the time playing off of Torres. Playing off of Jesus be the complimentary piece. So I like Torres playing out of position in midfield as well. He's at 7 pounds, probably going to be increasing. The other option would be Diego Jota for Liverpool. Liverpool still going to be a goal scoring threat. Jota, very creative. We've seen it from his time at Wolves, how creative he can be. None of these options are going to replace what you got out of Bruno when he had everything to himself. Bruno was just a free square, in my opinion, even though as expensive as he was, it just made too much sense. With that being said, you got the cost savings there going down the midfield. I would say you need to be bringing in Lukaku in your lineups immediately as your forward. I don't know who on your rosters you're probably taking out, but Lukaku, basically at 11.5, is not going to come cheap as a striker, but he's going to be a consistent source of goals. Chelsea have too many creative options to not get Lukaku service. I think it's just too easy for Lukaku to get goals this year on this Chelsea squad. So I'm just saying it now. Have Lukaku in your lineups, because his price is only going to shoot up from here. He's probably in about a month or two going to be well over 12 pounds in terms of his value and cost. So, to me, that's the way to go. I'm not taking out an Antonio from West Ham to bring in Lukaku. There should be spots you can upgrade your squad in order to bring the man in. Because it's just too straightforward, in my opinion, of a play to go to revise the roster. I'm out on Fernandez. And I'm taking a pass on Ronaldo, even though I think he's going to have plenty of chances to score fantasy points, because I think he's taken over most, if not all, the set piece opportunities for United. And he's obviously taking the PKs. So that's going to do it for the show. Hopefully this info is useful for you guys as you get ready for Fantasy Premier League action tomorrow, and obviously watching games and know what to expect. So until next time, folks, have a good one, and you'll hear from me again.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all other major outlets.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.